The search for a quarterback continues. The Broncos have added a safety. They've got their kicker back after a battle with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but Will Lutz will return to be a Bronco. He's also going to wear number 3. You know that? Will Lutz, he'll get his 3 back.
Oh, you serious?
Yeah, yeah.
How do we feel about that? Oh my goodness. I didn't know that. This is a lot to take in right now. I got to think about this, man. I got to think about this.
He should Photoshop him in a 3 jersey with a Captain C on it for his Twitter bio. Russ has done with the Steelers jersey.
I love it.
Yeah, so Will Lutz is back. And you remember all those games last year where the Broncos were just pounding the rock down the opponent's throat, like rushing for 100 yards at a clip. You remember that?
Yeah, like that felt like it was every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like turn around, just hand the ball off. We don't even need a quarterback to throw it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so good, yeah.
So for that reason, they've brought back fullback Michael Burton.
Love it, love it. Michael B. Love it. Yeah. What an addition, man. We're spending so much money right now, we got to just slow
down
a little bit.
That's absolutely right.
So let's just take a pause and bring back our fullback.
You need one. You need one in 2024
in the NFL. Yes, got to have one.
All right, so we've talked about the list, and the free agent list, not great. The guys that you can trade for, not as great either. But again, we're at the dollar DVD rack, and we have to make a selection. We'd love to make a selection by today. Let's go to Chicago. Talk a little bit about Justin Fields, who everybody wondered where he was going to end up. Kirk goes to Atlanta. That's gone. The Raiders go with Gardner Minshew. That option is out the window. And is he a starter or is he a backup? That is apparently the conversation that NFL teams are having right now. Here is Adam Schefter.
What's amazing to me about this is that Justin Fields is due to make $2.7 million this upcoming season. So there are teams out there that would rather pay all these other quarterbacks than Justin Fields. And so now he's sitting there, and it doesn't look like there's a starting job out there at this particular moment. And so the teams that are looking at him would be looking at him as a backup. And would Chicago then get the value that it wants? And what does Chicago do about that? This right now is an ongoing situation. It reminds me a little bit, in a certain way, of Lamar Jackson last year. Lamar becomes a free agent. We're saying, well, he fits in Washington, they don't make a move. He fits in Atlanta, they don't make a move. He fits in so many places, none of them make moves. Similar conversation with Justin Fields this year, and here he is back in Chicago, and the Bears will have to wait to see what opportunities arise, but it certainly doesn't seem right now like anything is imminent with Justin.
So teams look at him as a backup because all the starting opportunities have come and gone, or you have a high draft pick that you're going to let that young fella go and get after it from day one. Justin Fields, a backup, means what for what the Bears can get for him in a trade?
Yeah, I mean, now you're looking at, what, a third, fourth rounder?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you give up a second rounder for a backup. Certainly you're not giving a first rounder if that's how you view him, if he's not going to be your plan. And so I think you look at his situation and you say, okay, well, he's going into his fourth year, and you're going to have to make a call on his fifth-year option this offseason. It's just not an ideal situation to say, okay, this is going to be our plan. Now, if you could get him into the fold as a backup quarterback, I think there'll be some teams that would be interested in that. But it's a lot of these spots are filling up really quickly here. So whereas earlier in the offseason, it looked like, all right, well, the Bears might get a first rounder for him. Now it's like, can they even get a third rounder? What is it going to look like there for Chicago? So I don't know. Did they overplay their hand? Did they wait too long? Or was there ever really a market there for Justin Fields? Looking at his stats here, obviously we played him last year, and he had like the best game of his career, like his whole life.
Oh, that was he was perfect at the half until the Hail Mary, right?
Yes, exactly.
That's right.
He looking like, you know, Brady Manning out there, you know, just dicing, just dealing. And his first incompletion was a Hail Mary at the end of the half, but he looked great. He threw for 335 yards that day, 4 touchdowns. He had that late interception to Kareem Jackson that sealed the game for the Broncos.
Hold on. Kareem Jackson was in the game in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That was early, dude.
Yeah. He didn't get kicked out.
Hold on.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
The good old days.
Yeah.
4 quarters.
I remember that.
He sealed the game there with an interception. So, just looking at his stats here, he was banged up. Seems like he gets a little bit banged up every year. He can move. He can run. I just don't think it's a fit here. I just don't think it works out here. So it's not really even worth going down that that road. But I like his potential, certainly. But to think that he's going to be a plan here and be a good fit with Sean Payton, we kind of just went down that road with Russ. I like Fields better than Russ, but I've just got to take a pass on this, I think. How about you?
I'm with you. Look, I see some intrigue, especially now that this is the narrative from Adam Schefter and ESPN. Oh, he's a backup, because you're absolutely right. That goes from now a second, maybe even a first, a combo of both, to a third or a fourth, or a combo of a second and a third in future draft picks. So there's some intrigue there, but I'm looking at the list of NFL teams. I think maybe a team like Tennessee kicks the tires. If Will's not the answer, you have another option there as a quarterback. Arizona could be a fun conversation, right? Hey, maybe Kyler's not the guy. Here's a one-year kind of experiment if that were the case. And then they're obviously not going to do any deals inside of the division. But I think another opportunity for Justin would be the New York Giants. And who knows what that looks like. But they're also kind of in a similar spot of, we just gave this money to Daniel Jones, who's not really a pocket quarterback, not really a mobile quarterback. What is he? Some sort of combo in between, and they haven't figured it out. So
here's a question.
I think there's still some intrigue, but they're certainly losing it by the minute.
Yeah, I think the biggest question here is, how does Sean view it, right? How does he view Justin Fields? Does he think, he looks at a guy with, guy's got potential. I mean, he can play. Does he look at a guy that says, okay, this guy's very dynamic with his legs, obviously. Can I take a guy, I mean, he ran, Josh, he played in, I'm trying to think of how many games he played in, but he ran for 657 yards last year.
Dang.
That's a lot. And I know he missed three or four games. He broke his thumb. I'm not seeing exactly how many games he played in right now, but it was probably around 13 games. So he could move.
What'd you say, 654?
657.
657.
Is what I see. 124 carries, 657 yards, four touchdowns on the ground.
That's 120 less than Javonte Williams.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
I just wanted to see
that. But we got a fullback back, baby. Fullback is back. Michael B. in the house, ladies and gentlemen. He will return.
Michael B. Jordan?
Huh?
Michael B. Jordan?
No. Oh, Michael Burton. Michael Burton Sr.
Senior.
I know everybody, Broncos country, was concerned that we might not get him back.
Yeah.
But we did. We got him back, folks. And so that's a huge positive. But how does Sean Payton look at Justin Fields? And does he look at him and say, okay, I think I can make this guy because he's got some potential with his arm. I think with his legs, I think I can develop him into a pocket quarterback, but that also can use his legs if it's not there, which is a great asset. Who wouldn't want that guy? You know, you look at a guy like Lamar Jackson, he can operate from within the pocket, and then he can get it going with his feet. Fields just needs to develop a little bit more from within the pocket. Does Sean Payton look at him and say, I think I can do that. I think I can do that. And if he does, then, you know, obviously you make a move because you might be able to get him for a third.
Broncos country, what do you think? Would you take a flyer on Justin Fields now that the Bears are losing all of their leverage in the NFL world's looking at him as a backup? Let us know at 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. We're going to take a timeout, but the Sean Payton kind of New Orleans Denver 2.0, it continues. A new addition to the Broncos. Coming over from the Saints, we'll tell you who next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
Sometimes I'm not the smartest man, Stoke.
Yeah, you know, we had to turn everything down because we heard this big buzzing noise and thought it was coming from my computer, but it's like your personal computer's about to be fried, so...
Yeah, if you dump a bottle of water on your laptop, it's only a matter of time before that thing goes down. So we're trying to identify the noise. I turned my headset all the way down, and then I just put it back on, and I'm like, great, now I can't hear anything out of my headphones. And Stokes like, well, you do have to turn it up.
Volume helps.
So I went ahead and did that. Thank you, Stoke.
You're welcome.
You continue to guide me throughout this process.
That's what I
appreciate
do. I'm
you.
A mentor.
You are. All right. You want to join the show, hit us up, 303-713-1043. That's the RamosLaw.com text line. Watch the show over on Twitch. I'm going to make my way over there and hang out with you guys and say hello in a bit. I want to talk a little bit more about quarterbacks. I got a couple of questions, but first I got to tell you how Sean Payton continues to turn Denver into NOLA West. They have added a new player, Stoke. They got somebody.
All right. Can't wait. Can't wait. Who did we get? Do we get Mason Rudolph? Is it Justin Fields?
Right.
Sam Howell, maybe? Who did we get?
Maybe a tight end or a wide receiver?
Oh, we could use a tight end.
They got defensive tackle Malcolm Roach from New Orleans. He signed
Malcolm.
I
got Malcolm. Okay.
You know Malcolm, right?
From the Bayou, from New Orleans.
That's right. He's coming in to be a defensive tackle. Oh. And in Malcolm Roach's NFL career, he's been
balling.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
No.
He's left some to be desired.
Oh,
one sack goodness. In that NFL career. He's a depth guy. Is basically what it looks like. He has 90 total career tackles, 38 of them solo. That one sack that I mentioned, an interception, big fella, getting up there. But he is going to be a 5th-year player. 6'3", 290 pounds. He's a depth guy on the defensive line.
Okay.
So you got a safety, you got a defensive lineman, you won the battle against the Jaguars for your kicker, and that's it.
Don't forget, fullback.
Oh, and Michael Burton. How could I forget you? My bad, Michael Burton.
Yeah, I can't forget him.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the he's the captain of our free agency right now.
They are. I know things can change, but we're 25 hours and 19 minutes into this. 2024, buckle up, Broncos country. They're playing the long game.
Let's ride. I got to remember where I was at 10 o'clock. I got to remember where I was yesterday, a week ago. We knew they weren't going to be big spenders, right?
Yeah.
We said it. They're going to look for some value. They're going to look for some depth. So all of a sudden, we're in the middle of it, and I'm acting like it's a surprise, and I'm getting depressed over here. It's not sexy. It's not fun right now. But games in September, October, they're not won right now. You know, it's not about who spends the most money. So I don't know Malcolm. Never seen him play.
Mm-hmm.
He might be a good, solid rotational player, what they need. So, and our safety from the Dolphins, Brandon Jones,
yep.
I never heard of him before yesterday. Maybe ends up being a good quality starter for us. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. It's just because it's not huge names doesn't mean it's a bad signing. And we got to remember that,
mm-hmm.
especially this year. We just have to remember it. And I raise my hand. I have to be check myself when it comes to that, because it's not fun watching all these other teams spend money, get these big names, and we're sitting here and it's like, yep, we re-signed Michael Burton, fullback, round two over here with Sean Payton. We got to remember, and we're just starting. It's only day two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting anxious about the quarterback position. Everything else, hopefully we'll find some good bargains and some good solid players.
But and I also think it's a situation where, and we've said it before, Broncos fans, you guys are smart. You understand what this has been. And if it's as simple as, hey, do you want to continue to keep trying to put a Band-Aid on this and find a quarterback that, you know, insert coach's name, whoever's got the head coach title at the time, believes is the savior? Or do you want to actually do something that hasn't been done in 8 seasons? And you're, you know, again, without them saying it, tearing it down to the lowest that it's been as far as the Broncos go as a team and a franchise, and actually try to do it a different way. And I think those are the two simplest forms. Keep going, insanity, right? We've talked about what the definition of that is, or try something new with a new coach this time that has Super Bowl experience. I think for the majority of it, and you tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line if I'm crazy or not, but I would say for the majority of Broncos country, they're smart enough to realize what's happening, why it's happening, and that it's the right thing to be happening right now.
I mean, the one thing that I look back on, I think we all can look back on and agree, is just it would have been better to lose last year.
Agreed.
You know, we were
sell at the deadline.
Yeah, and we were 1-5, and we were talking number one pick. We were talking about top five pick. We were talking about who can we trade, who should we trade, start playing young guys, and then the defense started playing like the damn 85 Bears and was just carrying us to victories, and then they couldn't make moves. And so it would have been better just to bite the bullet last year.
Yeah.
Didn't happen, obviously. And now you're in a unique, tough spot. I mean, look, it's not going to be a tank job. I don't think it's going to be a tank job this year. This is going to be a team that might look a little bit different. But I just think you'll see some moves coming up here. But obviously with the cap situation, they had to make some decisions there and cut some guys and restructure some guys. But I'm not looking at it as they're kind of throwing in the towel right now at all. So we'll see what it looks like over the next week.
Another quarterback name that we have not discussed, Jimmy Garoppolo. Any interest in that handsome devil that is Jimmy G? And I know there's a ton of baggage that comes with it and questions that come with it. The Raiders signed him and then wanted nothing to do with him just what felt like a few weeks later. But that's also an available quarterback out there that's played in a Super Bowl.
Done. I'm out. No. I'm good. Thank you. But no thank you.
Even just for, like, you know, looking good?
Yeah, no.
Being handsome?
No. Nope. That doesn't do it. He's got good hair. He's a good-looking guy. I want a good-looking quarterback that can play. Jimmy G just doesn't do okay. it for me. I want to bring in a guy that is going to compete with Jared Stidham. And I've seen, like, I'd rather the unknown than the known. I've seen Jimmy G, and he just can't stay healthy. He's just not very good when he is healthy. We saw it last year with the Raiders, and so just not a good fit here.
Kevin made a great point. He's also suspended for the first two games because he didn't know what he was putting in his body, yeah, according
that,
to him.
Yeah, that cost him, what, 10, 15 million?
12 million.
12 million bucks. Mm-hmm. Because he didn't get it approved. He had a doctor's prescription, but that doesn't mean anything to the NFL.
So you have to take them the note, they have to approve it, and then you can take the substance.
An exemption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because something that he was taking was on the prohibited list. But he had whatever prescription. It might have been, you know, who knows what it was for. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But something in whatever he was taking from that prescription was on the ban list, and you get tested, and next thing you know, blah, 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 pops up, and it's like, so he would have needed to say, hey, I'm taking this medicine, I got this prescription, then they would have looked at it and said, okay, you're good or you're not good, right? He didn't take that next step, hence he had $12 million fully guaranteed for this year, not anymore, because you failed a drug test, and now that cost you $12 bucks.
Yeah, tough break there for Jimmy Garoppolo. Jameis Winston's already gone. I've seen a couple people text in. What about Jameis? He signed with the Browns as of this morning. So that quarterback list is short for the Denver Broncos. We'll get back to it coming up, but I want to get to the Denver Nuggets. Was Coach Malone upset about effort? He was on Saturday, and the Denver Nuggets had the same effort in the first half. We'll hear from the coach next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, Stokes, so coming off the Utah Jazz win for the Denver Nuggets, Coach Malone was upset. He was a little angry about the effort from his team, despite winning, and put up 142 points. He was...
Yeah, the effort in the third, right?
Not thrilled, yes.
That was the one that got him back into it.
Mm-hmm. So last night it's Toronto. It's a bad team. They're without four starters. Michael Porter Jr.'s little brother is getting the opportunity to come and play, and then, of course, Bruce Brown. And Toronto came out ready to roll. They were looking like they were taking care of business, but the Nuggets turned it on. Mostly thanks to Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. But I assume, Stoke, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to take in this presser. Malone's going to light him up again. He's going to be fired up. He's going to be all mad. But that was not the Coach Malone we got in the postgame setting.
Do I like the fact that we didn't play at all in the first half? No. But I'm really proud of, you know, our guys having the courage to not let go and just go, all right, let's get ready for Miami. We stayed with it. And there was never any panic, which is what I loved about it as well.
So he's loving the courage that he showed right there was the word.
Courage.
But he was mad about their effort and the, you know, lack of want to, I guess, in that Utah game. I know he probably can't play that card two games in a row, but I think the Toronto game is more of a case where you play that card than what it is in Utah. At least Utah, they came out ready to roll. Last night against Toronto, there was one Denver Nugget player that showed up at the start of the game to be ready. That was Aaron Gordon. Outside of that, he was all by himself.
Yeah, I think, look, every situation's different. And as a coach, you have to have the feel of your team. You have to have the feel of your players. And, you know, I look at the Jazz game, right? You were blowing them out. It was going to be an easy victory. You let them back in the second half. You had to put Jokic back in the game late, which was ridiculous, right? Jamal's out there late. It's like, okay, hey, you want to get their attention. So I really like how Michael Malone has played this. And then you want to praise him. Okay, hey, guys, I know it wasn't good in the first half. And y'all, we got to show up a little bit better early on, right? That was ridiculous. But what I do love, like, so you get on him a little bit about that first one where you got an easy win. And then the second one, okay, I know I can get on them a little bit about how they started the game, but I'm not. I'm going to praise them right here for how they competed late and how they overcame certain things. So I like how he handled it, and you have to be flexible and fluid, and you can look at every situation, and you can find some good and bad. It's sports. It's a game. Yeah. That happens every single game. But you got to know when to push and when to pull. You got to know when to be critical, and you got to know when to praise the guys. And so I think in that situation, with what happened and how it played out coming off the Utah game, I think he handled it spot on.
Is there such thing as a bad win? Because if there is, look, it's a win. I have a hard time saying there is a such thing as a bad win. You get as many of those things as you can throughout this, probably way too long of a regular season. But all right, it wasn't a great win by any means, but it's still a win. I have a hard time saying anything is a bad win. If I have more points than you at the end of the game, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know about a bad win. Because, look, ultimately it's about winning and losing. I think, but certainly every, when you look at wins, they can look different. They can feel different. But at the end of the day, we heard Michael Malone after the Jazz game. That's what he said. Like, hey, I'll take a win over, he said, what, an ugly win over a pretty loss,
yeah.
Right? I mean, so that's what it boils down to, is whether you win or lose. Is there bad wins? Ultimately, I don't think so. I mean, there's some learning lessons, I think, from some wins more so than others, right? If depending on how you play and how you start off. And,
of course.
And we saw that. We saw that with the Jazz game, and we saw that yesterday. A lot of teachable learning lessons, even for a team like the Nuggets. And that's what Michael Malone's there for. No one to push, no one to pull back, push the right buttons. And certainly both games were a little bit different. Well, you were blowing them out, Utah at halftime. You had that was like a franchise record, I believe, right? They were up by 34 points at half?
34 or 35. It tied the franchise record for biggest lead at half.
I mean, and then all of a sudden, so you go from that type of start to the start that you saw against Toronto last night, and it's polar opposite. So a lot of obviously teachable moments here. And even though they're the defending champs, all five starters are back, veteran team, you still have moments like that where you can use them to hopefully prevent something like that from happening again.
Yeah. And I think it's – I know a lot of people are, the interest level, that want-to that we talk about – it's the Toronto Raptors. I know, and at times I've used this card. Hey, you're a professional player. You shouldn't have to get up for the game. Like, you get paid to go and play. But it's so hard with human instinct. We all felt it, and we're not playing, granted, but it's the Raptors. They're a bad team. You're out four starters. It's that almost you've played the game out in your head before the ball was even jumped, and that's how the Nuggets came out. They thought that they were just, hey, we can just show up and beat the Raptors. That wasn't the case last night, but they turned it on and figured it out. And I'm not really worried about the Toronto Raptors hanging around with the Denver Nuggets in March as we get to the playoffs, because everything will matter. The lights will be the brightest. The opponents will be who they are. And the Nuggets won't take anybody lightly come playoff time. Right now, they're the defending champions. Their center is going to get the third MVP of his career. And they want the postseason to arrive just as much as we want the postseason to arrive.
Well, I think when you look at it, it's 82 games. I mean, you're going to have moments throughout the season where it just doesn't look like it's supposed to look.
Right.
That happens every single year. Every single year, games like that happen. The difference is when you have a team like the Nuggets, they can overcome that and do it in the fourth quarter. Like they did. Jamal, take over. Jokic, take over in the third. And so that's the difference here. But you're going to have moments throughout the course of the year. I don't care who you're playing. I don't care if it's the Pistons, the Spurs. Stuff like that happens, and we see it with every team.
Yep.
And sometimes you lose by 30 in those games. But the Nuggets, I don't know how many they were down at one point there in the second, but it felt like it was 20.
It was 22 and then 21 okay. in the third.
Yeah. And sometimes those games can turn into be those games where you lose by 30. We saw the Golden State Warriors lose by 50.
Yeah.
50, a.k.a. 50 to Boston a week or two ago. This stuff just happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. And the ball's not going in. You're not playing. And it's the NBA, 82 games. But the difference here was they were able to flip this thing around and find a way to get a hard-fought win. And that's what ultimately matters.
And I think that's where Malone is. Hey, they've earned benefit of the doubt. They showed us that they can use that last night in the second half. One quick text on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. This is from the 970 area code up there in FOCO. Says, I couldn't play for a guy like Malone. He's all over the map, and you don't know where you stand.
Yeah, you do.
I don't think that's the reason you couldn't play for Malone, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you're just not very good at basketball.
Yeah, that's
but,
more the case.
yeah, you know where you're at. Those guys know where they're at. And so that stuff right before the All-Star break, you know, giving them free passes and like,
they were tired.
Oh, we're tired. We need rest. Like, give me a break. Right. I didn't like that, but he's fine here. He knows his team and they respect him. Right. They know like, all right, Mike's going to give it to us. He's going to chew our ass out today. Right. Like, watch out, boys. Get buckle up. You know what I mean? They know who he is.
Yeah.
You see DeAndre Jordan on the bench there in the fourth quarter putting his arm around Michael Malone and they're laughing about something. No one's got it better than DeAndre Jordan right now, though. Shout out to him.
Yeah.
He don't even play anymore. I would rather see DeAndre. What happened? I'd rather see him than Najee in there.
You and me both.
But he's just chilling now. So good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But like you can tell those guys respect him and they trust Michael Malone. And so, like, yeah, you're all over the map. That's what you want. That's what you're supposed to do as a coach or as a boss, right? I don't want Mr. Nice Guy. Sometimes it's got to go. We got to go, guys. And then sometimes you put your arm around them and show them a little love.
I like where the Nuggets are. They're fine. They're fine where they're at. They're 9-1 out of the break. It's exactly what we've asked for. They're right in the driver's seat to get that number one overall seed. And, yeah, anytime you want to talk about less Zeke Najee, I'm down to have that conversation with you. I also want to say something. I got to clean
something
up.
I'm like second in command there. I'm right behind you now. Yeah, you drug me into that.
I said, I think I screwed you up yesterday because we were talking about
you probably did. Whatever it was, you definitely screwed me up.
The schedule moving forward. I thought they were home versus Spurs Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the Spurs, but it's not in San Antonio.
Oh.
It's in Austin. So that's why it looks weird on your ESPN app or if you're going to
Google
the Nuggets schedule. It is a road game. It's just not in San Antonio. What, an hour and 10 away in Austin?
In Austin.
Is where they're going to do it. So I screwed you up on that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I was just hoping that someone would yell at Greg Popovich when he was being a jerk, and I was hoping that would be you.
Yeah,
We'd get great content for the show if that was you.
I kind of want to do it when he comes. Like, I want to be in the press conference setting, but then I want to sit in the stands as a fan so I could really get after him. You know what I mean?
I do. I like that.
That might be the play for me.
It's not. So we don't have one against the Spurs at home. Yeah, we do. We got one against the Spurs.
Nice.
April 2nd.
Okay.
Put in your calendar.
All right.
When we need you there for the presser.
I believe that's a Tuesday because I'm in Vegas that weekend before.
Perfect. So I'll be back. Yeah, perfect.
All right. Tuesday. I'll go. I'm coming.
The day after April Fool's, right? April Fool's is the first, right?
Yeah. I'm coming for you, Pop.
Yeah.
I'm coming for you on April 2nd. All right, let's have a running back conversation. Turns out the running back is important in the NFL, and we learned that yesterday by all the money handed out. We'll give you the details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Well, I just heard the news today.
The Broncos signed.
Seems my life.
Drew Lock.
Michael Burton.
We wish it was Drew Lock, right?
Close my eyes.
Oh, man, I hate interrupting this, but we gotta get into a conversation that I actually want to have about running backs, Stoke. NFL teams had their arms wide open for running backs on day one of the tampering period. It was a busy running back day. All kinds of running backs found new homes. There was a bunch of money spent. Turns out that position is valuable again. The biggest is Saquon Barkley. He left the Giants to go join the Eagles going back to Philly. He went to Penn State as a college kid. And, of course, Giants fans are all fired up and mad about him, led by Tiki Barber. Did you see what Tiki had to say?
Yeah.
You're dead to me. You're dead to us, is what he said. And Saquon did reply to Tiki. And let me pull up his quick response. So he did it via Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiki was doing it on his radio show, right? He has his own show. Tiki, Saquon tweeted, at Tiki Barber, you've been a hater since I got to New York. All the dead to me talk. Don't smile in my face when you see me next time. I actually really like that response. I like Tiki. Tiki's my guy. Do you know that?
Nah.
Tiki and I are homeboys.
There you go. I like Tiki.
Yeah. And I really like Saquon going back at him, though.
Yeah, it's Tiki responded.
He responded to that. Okay, yeah. I didn't see that part.
He did. And, you know, he's like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. I've been a hater since day one. He's like, I've been his biggest fan. I've been a big fan of Saquon Barkley. And he did say, you know, hey, you're dead to us now. He said that tongue-in-cheek, right? He's just kind of, I mean, you're going from the Giants to the Eagles. That's like going from the Broncos to the Raiders, right? You're like, okay. I mean, that's it. So, like, let's settle down a little bit here. He's not being serious. But that was good. That was entertaining. And, you know, that's what happens when you're on the radio, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All of a sudden, you know, Von Miller hangs up on you. He gets pissed off at you. You talk about trading him. You know, other people. Chris Harris, you know, is like, oh, you want to trade me? I should take a pay. Oh, gosh. Settle down, guys.
Thought you had my back.
Settle down. So that's just what happens, you know, when you're on the radio, Josh.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It happens from time to time. So Saquon moved. We saw Tony Pollard leave Dallas, go to Tennessee. Josh Jacobs went from the Raiders to the Packers. Not as big money, but Swift to Chicago. Austin Eckler is now out of the division. He joined the Washington Commanders last night. But the Chargers got a guy in Gus Edwards.
Wow.
I thought that was cool, too. Phil made a good point hearing him. They said that happening in real time. Gus Edwards goes from John to Jim, just staying in the Harbaugh family, which was interesting. Devin Singletary.
I like Gus Edwards.
You do?
Yep.
Devin Singletary went to New York. I freaking love Zach Moss going to Cincinnati. That is a great move for both parties involved there.
Agree. Joe Mixon's out.
Joe Mixon is out. He found a new team. Aaron Jones signed with Minnesota this morning. Derrick Henry, Stoke, looks like he's about to join the Baltimore Ravens today.
King Henry, wow.
I mean, are they the favorite now? In the AFC, or you still got to love Patrick?
No. I mean, I think you got three or four teams, five teams in there. And we'll see how it shakes out. A lot of you know, time before we get there. But certainly they're in the mix.
And Joe Mixon, where did he end up?
Houston,
that's right. It was a trade. They were going to release him, but end up trading him this morning to the Houston Texans, which I think is another good spot for Joe Mixon and a good spot for the Texans to have. But were you surprised by the money here? And has the pendulum swung back to running backs mattering again?
Well, it's interesting. Running backs matter, certainly. But you have to be elite, right? You just can't be really good.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really good ones out there, right?
Yeah.
And you have to be elite. So you have to be able to do a little bit of both. You have to be really good in the passing game, really good in the running game. That's like Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley. Or you just have to be like King Henry, you know, just like an outlier. Other than that, it's going to be hard to get paid if you're just a really good running back. And I don't think that will change. Seeing all this and you know, all this news, and they're, you know, they're averaging around $12 million a year for those top-tier guys, I believe, something like that. Josh Jacobs and the guys that signed yesterday. Saquon was a little bit more, I believe. Who else signed yesterday? He got around $12 million. There was a few guys.
Tony Pollard's just under
Tony
that
Pollard,
mark,
yeah. But yeah. So last year, all the buzz was about the running backs, and they're like, it's unfair. We're not getting what we should get, and it's just, you know, poor us, and I can't believe this, and you know all of these different things, and they were, you know, they had a conference call.
Yeah. Oh, they were going to unionize.
Yeah. And all of this stuff, right? And then Josh Jacobs held out, Saquon held out for a little bit, and it was all of this stuff going on, and I think that the NFL could have came together and said, all right, we need to step it up a little bit here.
On behalf of the running backs?
Yeah, we need to step it up here or something, you know, I don't know what it could look like, but like we need to step it up. So it's almost like a collaborative effort here where, all right, we got to start paying these guys a little bit more. Here's the numbers. Here's what the numbers are going to be.
Okay.
Right kind of here. That's the way it feels. Kind of, right? I mean, that's where my mind went because of everything that was happening last year. The market was crazy this year. And then, you know, you see the numbers. It's like, okay, these guys are getting a little bit more than I thought. Some of these guys that I don't think are really top-tier guys, they're making more than I thought they would. It's almost like the NFL came together. It's like, all right, guys, cap's going up here. We got to start spending a little bit on the running back position.
I mean, it is an important position. I didn't want to make it sound like it's, you know, offensive guard or something like that.
Right. You're playing left guard. Like, goodness gracious, thank you for clarifying that.
It's more important than that, certainly. For sure. I was talking about the way that the pendulum swings in the running back world in the NFL. So, yeah, it is important, but... And then I think the other question of this is, look, were the Broncos going to be in the Saquon Barkley? No. Were they going to be in Tony Pollard, Josh Jacobs? No. But, you know, guys like Gus Edwards, Zach Moss, you and I have talked about before. I freaking love Zach Moss. He's probably too small to come join this running back room of the Broncos. But do you think they should have been in on any of these other lower-tier running backs? Or are they rolling with Javonte, Samaje, and Jaleel?
Yeah, no, we're going to roll with our guys, and you forgot Michael Burton.
How
you
got
to add him to the mix there. So, no.
He'll get at least two carries.
Yes, at least two per game?
No, the season.
Oh, whole season. 17
games.
Fourth
and one.
So how many is that? Does he average a game then if he gets two carries? You do the math real quick.
Oh,
count
God.
Down. Ready? You got 5 seconds. No phone.
No phone?
Four, three, two, one.
0.125.
Okay. Okay, all right, put that down. You might, I like that. At least you didn't go one before the point.
Yeah.
Right? So you're smarter than you look. So you are learning.
Hey.
I was trying to put the pressure on you and you screw it up like 1.2.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you dummy, there's no chance. I know it can't be that. But you did good.
Thank you.
You passed the test.
Check that math for us, chicken fingers.
Yeah, that's scary. you look at our running back room and we haven't heard any news on P. Ryan, so it seems like he's coming back. Javonte's coming back. McLaughlin is the one that we are most excited about. He's got to be coming back. It's probably going to be it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you draft a guy late and you carry four backs, practice squad guy, young, you know, and so. But Broncos don't need to be in the market for like a top-tier running back.
Yeah.
Not this year. Not this year. Just don't. And so I'm fine with that.
Okay.
But I'm like... Receiver, tight end, how about that? How about that? Can we maybe find
I would really enjoy that. Yeah.
I mean, tight end, like please somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, see, like Chiefs signed Irv Smith Jr. All right. Well, he was a first round pick not that long ago. I mean, Broncos.
Yeah.
You know, just add to the mix. You know, it's gonna be Broncos re-sign
Adam Trautman.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to lose my stinking
mind.
You
are going to lose it.
I am going to lose my mind.
I hope it's live on air that signing comes
down. I'm
going
to lose my mind. That might be the final blow for this computer right here. Just like whack.
Is that yours or is it the
No, stations? I wouldn't hit mine. Yeah. It's just theirs. Say it fell off.
Right.
Just fell off. I don't know what happened.
I'm like, wind gust.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wind. The fans just blew it over. I don't know. I didn't touch it. I know that's what's going to happen here. I know it.
It's good.
But we do. I mean, can we find a tight end? Can we get a tight end? Can we get a slot receiver? Can we get another receiver? I think those things are way more important right now than addressing the running back position.
Let's have that conversation, what it looks like for the Broncos moving forward. Yeah, they've added a couple of pieces. Nothing on the offensive side outside of a kicker. We will have that conversation about what the Broncos do next and look around the NFL. How many quarterbacks are actually available for the Broncos? We'll tell you next.